Did a natural gas pipeline cause the fatal explosion in West Reading last week? And an all clear for Philly's water supply. Welcome to The Morning Agenda, WITF's daily news podcast, where the only agenda is you. I'm Tim Lambert, your host on this daily trip around the region's top stories. A thanks to our sponsor, CGA Law Firm. The firm is located in York, Hanover, and East Berlin, and provides legal services to businesses, individuals, and municipalities in South Central Pennsylvania. You can find them at cgalaw.com. Good morning. It's Wednesday, March 29th. This is being recorded at 9:17, and just wanted to give you a heads up that I will be heading out for vacation after today, so I will not be back hosting The Morning Agenda until April 12th. So be kind to my fill-in hosts, Randy Parker and Rachel McDevitt. All right, let's get started. Federal safety officials are investigating the role of a natural gas pipeline in the fatal blast at that West Reading chocolate factory. The National Transportation Safety Board has announced the probe, calling the incident a natural gas explosion and fire. The powerful blast at R.M. Palmer Company killed 7 people, sent 10 to the hospital, and damaged several other buildings. Some workers told relatives they smelled natural gas before the blast. State police have said everything is on the table as fire marshals also try to pinpoint the origin and cause. Now, an elite search and rescue team has assisted the rescue and recovery effort at the scene of the chocolate factory explosion. My colleague Sam Dunklaw reports it worked to find survivors and recover those who were killed.
Task Force 1, based in Philadelphia, is trained to handle the exact kind of disaster that struck the Berks County community. Just a few years ago, they helped recover some of the 98 victims of the condo collapse in Surfside, Florida. Program manager Ken Pogorek says recovery work at the R.M. Palmer factory was particularly dangerous.
We had the four-story building next to us that the wall had pushed out 18 inches to 2 feet in various areas and was in imminent danger of collapse.
7 people were killed when the two-story factory building exploded. 1 woman was rescued from the rubble. Task Force 1 and other rescuers recovered all of the victims by the end of the weekend. The unit is one of 28 urban search and rescue crews that respond to significant incidents across the country. A government watchdog is conducting an investigation into the Environmental Protection Agency's response to the Norfolk Southern train derailment last month near the Ohio-Pennsylvania border. Reed Frazier is with our partner, the Allegheny Front, based in Pittsburgh. He has the details for you.
The EPA's Office of Inspector General, an independent part of the federal agency, will look into the derailment, which led to the intentional burning of the highly toxic chemical vinyl chloride. It will look at issues like hazardous waste disposal, air and water monitoring, and risk communication. Amanda Kiger of the group River Valley Organizing says the 1 mile temporary evacuation zone established by the EPA is too small. People outside the zone can't get reimbursed by Norfolk Southern for relocation expenses during cleanup.
We have folks with rashes. We have folks going to the hospital still that are told that they have chemical burns in their lungs. These are folks that are outside of that 1 mile radius.
Investigators will be able to interview EPA personnel and see any materials related to the probe. Witnesses at a congressional committee meeting say election day shortages of the paper needed to run machinery caused significant problems in a northeastern Pennsylvania county in November. The U.S. House Administration panel has heard that the extent of the problem or what caused it are still unclear. The 3-hour hearing of the events in Luzerne County last November 8th brought outrage from members of both parties about the problems that contributed to a delay in reporting results from the country's largest swing state. County and state elections leaders did not testify, deferring instead to an ongoing probe of the matter by the Luzerne County District Attorney. Well, Philadelphia has been given the all clear that the city's tap water is safe to drink. Corey Sharber is with our partner WHYY in Philadelphia. He reports the move comes days after a chemical spill in Bucks County threatened the supply.
Officials confirm no contaminants have been found in the city's water system at any point since the spill. Mayor Jim Kenney said he's grateful none of the residents were exposed to unsafe chemicals.
I know this has been an uncertain time for residents, but you can be confident knowing that you have officials, that the officials tasked with ensuring your well-being and health will always put your safety above everything else. You can drink and use your water with peace of mind.
And just some context, there was some panic buying. Water aisles throughout Philadelphia's grocery stores have been mostly empty since the first warning alert went out Sunday. As I try to do each morning, I go through about a dozen news sites in central Pennsylvania to find some stories to put on your radar. So here's what I came across today and what you need to know. A Berks County woman has been sentenced for her role in illegally purchasing firearms for a gun trafficking network. The Reading Eagle reports 24-year-old Michaela Prince of West Reading will serve 6 to 23 months in the Montgomery County Jail. She would be eligible for house arrest and probation. She pleaded guilty to several charges, including making materially false written statements, illegal sale or transfer of firearms, and conspiracy. Price was one of 14 people charged in connection with the gun trafficking network that operated in five counties, including Berks and Lancaster here in central Pennsylvania, for nearly 2 years. Prosecutors alleged it illegally obtained and resold 43 firearms using straw purchase schemes. So how does a straw purchase work? That's when someone who is legally allowed to purchase a gun buys one and then gives it to someone who is not permitted to purchase that firearm. So far, only 13 of those 43 firearms have been recovered. The Central York School District has made some headlines for removing several books from the high school library. The York Dispatch reports Superintendent Peter Aiken is asking for patience and grace from community members amid criticism of the way the latest removal was handled. He says the district has learned some lessons over the past few weeks. The school board is expected to vote on two policies on April 17th. One would lay out a specific sequence of events allowing parents to submit written challenges to books used in the classroom. The other would require all teaching materials to be approved by the school board. Two board members noted what parents think is right for their children may not be right for all children in the district. One student went so far as to ask the board, "Why can't we have our own mind, our own voices?" That is going to do it for The Morning Agenda. It's a daily news podcast from WITF, where the only agenda is you. So what was the best song you heard on your drive to work today? Mine was Kids from Sleigh Bells. Let me know what you heard. Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what is rattling around as your earworm. Reach out to me on Twitter. I'm at tlambert895. If you like what you hear on The Morning Agenda each and every day, please subscribe in any of the places where you find your favorite podcast. We also ask you to give us a rating and let us know what you think in a review. And please feel free to recommend us to a friend. Our sponsor is CGA Law Firm, which is located in York, Hanover, and East Berlin. It provides legal services to businesses, individuals, and municipalities in South Central Pennsylvania. You can check them out at cgalaw.com. Joe Ulrich is the guy who mixes this all together audio-wise, so a big thanks to him. I'm your host, Tim Lambert. Once again, I will be heading out on vacation after work today. So Randy Parker and Rachel McDevitt will be ably filling in for me until I get back on April 12th. Until then, be well and take care of yourself.